Okay, again, do you have the discussion questions for today? It should say 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13, prayer for brotherly love. That's the one we're on today. So pick one of those up if you don't have one, or raise your hand if you don't have one, and Mr. Ray will pass one out to you. But 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 12, it's what we're looking at this morning. And we'll start off with praises and prayer requests here this morning. Prayer requests. My older two daughters are sick, so they're not here. My wife's not here, so I'll pray for them, Lillian and Eva. And not feeling well. Did get a COVID test. It's not COVID, so just say that. They have the free home tests now, so we did that. It was negative anyway. I have a note here from Shirley. I'll read that. Morrow Bible Church would like to thank you all for the love and concern you have shown me during this time. I'm not able to be there with you. Thanks for all the thoughts and prayers, the cares, flowers, and food. Hope to be back in church soon. Won't know for sure just when I'll get rid of this pump. I feel my leg is healing good, and I thank the Lord for that and for all of you. Love in the Lord, Shirley. So pray for Shirley as she recovers. And earlier this week I got an update on Alba Vili, no change, but just continue to pray for her. She's still on the ventilator, last I heard, which was a couple days ago, but just pray for her. All right, any other prayer requests, praises you'd like to share? All right, Crystal. For Crystal's dad with this vision problem that he's experiencing. So, pray for Bill Roush. Get the battery reinstalled here. All right. Becky, you have another request. So the Margraf's niece, we've been praying for, Renee Margraf, she's had some brain surgeries. They found out this week she has meningitis. And so they started her on some antibiotics for that and still will be in the hospital several more weeks. So continue to pray for Renee Margraf. All right, anyone else? Yes, Sue.
Our grandson's girlfriend, she finally got the COVID.
Okay, praise Miller's grandson's girlfriend. She recovered from COVID, going back to work. So praise for that. All right. Anyone else? Mr. Renard?
I'm going in for carpal tunnel surgery on the left hand here Tuesday. And just pray that the Lord will direct the surgeon's hands and keep me from snoring while he's working.
All right. So Bob is going to be having carpal tunnel surgery on the other hand this Tuesday. So pray for his surgery, that it would be successful. Okay, Crystal?
One more thing. My sister April is afraid she will be starting a new job in about 30 days. So please pray for her. She starts her new job. She's excited but nervous after being where she's been for 25 years. So please pray for her, but pray that she is able to find a new job.
Okay, so Crystal's sister April is going to be starting a new job. That's a praise. In several weeks, but just praise that she's able to find that. Becky.
Me again, too. It's also praise. I ask for special prayer for my co-worker's nephew, Skyler, a 28-year-old young man, diabetic with COVID and was in intensive care. My friend said that his blood sugar was so high he couldn't even read it, but he is greatly improved out of the hospital and recovered.
Okay, this man, Skyler, it's a son of a coworker. Is that right?
Nephew
of a coworker, has recovered from COVID. It's a serious situation there, but praise that he's recovered. Okay. Anybody else? Mr. Ray.
I like prayer for Steve, a boy down in South Carolina. Within the last 3 or 4 weeks, the activity of the bad guys got more severe.
Okay, pray for Steve Ray as he works for the Sheriff's Department there in South Carolina and seeing a lot more trouble in the last several weeks. So just pray for Steve Ray and all of our law enforcement. Okay, anybody else? Other prayer requests? All right, one other thing I wanted to share. I'll share it here just because it's kind of church business as opposed to, you know, when we're kind of public live with our live stream. But we do have a congregational meeting scheduled for October the 24th. That's a special meeting the elders are calling. And that relates to Samuel Finneran. If you remember where things were at with that, we, kind of established a position there with this intern assistant, very part-time. And the next step would be application. And he has applied for that, as we've stated there. So we've received that. And the elders are recommending him to the church for that. And so we've called this meeting on October the 24th to potentially decide on that as far as if the church would have that to go forward. So I just wanted to announce that. And the application's actually, it's posted there on the bulletin board that he sent in. And I have some other copies if anybody would like a copy of that as well. So just pray about that and just take note of those plans. All right, well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the rain that you've sent here today, and just thank you for each one that's able to be here. And we come to you and ask for your healing hand. Think of those that are sick here in our congregation, those that are on our hearts as well. I pray for my daughters. They're not well today. We think of Shirley. We pray that you would help her to fully recover. We pray for Crystal's dad. And we just pray that you would strengthen him and touch his body, help him with this these vision issues. Father, we pray for Renee Margraf. this young lady in the hospital, already been through so much. We pray that you would strengthen her and heal her. Be with the doctors as they try to help her. We pray for Mr. Renard this week as he is going in for surgery on his other hand, his carpal tunnel. We pray for a successful surgery. We pray that you would strengthen him, guide the doctors there. We just thank you for the healing that you've given to this young man, Skyler, we've heard about. Also for Miller's grandson's girlfriend that has gone through COVID and been healed. We thank you for that. We also want to lift up Steve Ray there in South Carolina. We pray that you would sustain him, protect him as he works for the Sheriff's Department and the things that he has to deal with and some of the lawlessness that is going on. We just pray for strength for him. We thank you for what he does. Pray for all the law enforcement, and we pray for your protection over them. We pray also for our church. Just guide us as we've planned this special meeting coming up later this month. We pray that your will would be done there. Just guide the church. We pray. Pray that you bless our time in your word here this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going on to another prayer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin in verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. This is another prayer of the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Notice what it says. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. So, this is a prayer. Paul's praying to the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians. We could go back to Acts. We won't do that, I guess, this morning. But Acts chapter 17 is the record of Paul's first visit to Thessalonica. And he did that after he had heard the Macedonian call. He had gone over into Macedonia. His first stop was Philippi. He was jailed in Philippi, Paul and Silas there, but the jailer was one who came to Christ. And then he goes on to another city, Thessalonica. And he is there for a little bit, not very long. He starts off in the synagogue, and he's ministering there. And there were people saved. It seems that it must have been mostly Gentiles who were saved there, even though it was in the synagogue. Paul, in chapter 1, verse 9, says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That tells us to think something about the Thessalonians. They probably weren't Jews. If they were idol worshipers, probably were Gentiles, maybe attending the synagogue and hearing that. But even though they were only there a short time, a church was raised up, and they were ministering. They were examples, Paul calls them, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad." So he was commending them. But Paul desired to come back and help them. If you just jump back up to verse 7 here in this chapter. "Therefore, brethren, We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. So Paul is encouraged by what he hears about them. And he wants to come and see them again. Verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So, I want you to notice, first of all, the intensity of this prayer. The intensity of this prayer. Notice how he describes that. He says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. That's an intensity in prayer. That's not just sort of a casual prayer. There's some intensity there. This word praying here that he uses is another word that communicates intensity. We find that this word used in a context where there's begging. In Luke 5:12, we have a leper that is urging the Lord to heal him. He uses this word. Seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him. That's the same word for pray here. There's this intensity, this earnest request. There's a begging here. And so we need to notice that. Intensity. The intensity is something we see often in Paul's prayers. He asks the Romans in Romans 15:30 for them to strive together with me in your prayers. Epaphras is one who had this intensity as well. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So notice this intensity. Let's think about praying intensely. What might that mean? I think of exercise. If somebody is exercising, that's typically something they're going to do with some intensity, right? How would they exercise intensely? Probably they're going to be doing it regularly. They're going to have a routine, maybe 3 days a week. They're going to the gym or doing something outside or inside. They have some sort of routine. They may buy special clothes, special shoes to go running, something like that. And they're doing this intensely. Special machines. They're going to put down some money to be able to get serious about this and exercise. And prayer is like that, I think, in a way. When we see this idea of intensity in prayer, prayer is like exercise in many ways. It's something that we need to have some of those same elements in our prayer that we might have in exercise even. I heard somewhere that A.W. Tozer, when he would go into his office, he had special pants he put on. He had a pair of pants that were his prayer pants. That helped him, I guess, to be able to pray intensely. If you've ever seen the movie Sheffy, think about Robert Sheffy, who's a circuit riding preacher. He had that sheepskin that he carried around. That was what he prayed over. And he used that in his prayer. But intensity here. Paul says, night and day, praying exceedingly. Notice the desire that's behind this intensity as well. It's for the spiritual health of these people. Verse 10. That we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. This word perfect has the idea of mending, restoring, strengthening. But he recognized that as much good as he saw in the Thessalonians, there was still some strengthening that they could experience in their faith, that He would perfect that which is lacking in their faith. You know, if somebody came to you here at church privately and they said, "Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that that the Lord would perfect what's lacking in your faith," how do you think that would be taken? Well, it could be taken as an offense. Something lacking in my faith? There's nothing lacking in my faith. But Paul is telling these Christians that there is something that is lacking, something that needed perfecting about their faith. And the reality is that we have that as well. We have portions of God's Word that we might not fully understand the impact of. We have fruits in our lives that haven't maybe been fully produced. And our faith could be perfected to produce those. You know, at times we struggle with doubt. And our faith needs to be strengthened there so we can overcome doubt. The opposite. And so we have to recognize that. That's what was prompting this intense prayer. And then we notice the objects of the prayer here. He is crying out to God and our Father, verse 11, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have some more petitions here. Direct our way unto you. God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. He's praying here for a journey. Praying for a journey. He is not in Thessalonica when he's writing this, and he knows that there's going to have to be a journey that is undertaken, and so he's praying about that. You know, Paul did not have God's will laid out before him like a map when it came to his journeys. We study Acts and we get out our maps and trace the journeys of Paul, but you know, Paul didn't have, he might have had a map, but it didn't have those lines all over it showing Paul's journeys. He was at one point, and you know, he was trying to figure out, what is the next point that I go to? And oftentimes Paul's journeys were they're filled with hardship. Persecution, for example, affected his journeys, and many of the cities that he went to, the next leg of his journey was affected by people trying to get him. Trying to kill him, and so he has to go somewhere else. Other providential circumstances were influencing his journey. Sometimes his own desires prompted him to move. He's telling us here about his own desires to go back to Thessalonica to see them, and he is motivated by those desires as well in his journeys. But he's praying here for the Lord's direction in the journey. Verse 11 again. Now God Himself direct our way unto you. And we need to acknowledge our dependence on God to direct us. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And Paul understood that the Lord was in control, that the Lord had a plan. It wasn't necessarily laid out in front of him, but the Lord was going to guide him in his way and his plan. So he's praying about this journey here. And then we also see another request in verse 12. What does he say there? And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do towards you. So we have a request here for increasing and abounding love to one another and to all men. Increasing and abounding love toward one another and to all men. We talked a lot about that prayer. It keeps coming up in Paul's prayers, this prayer for love. And, you know, As Christians, we have a nature within us that should be already geared towards loving one another. 1 John 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." So John's just saying there, if you love the Lord, if you're truly a believer, you should automatically be geared towards loving other believers. It just should be that way. And but sometimes we have to work on that. We have to work on that. Then there's a connection here. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about this a little bit, but I'll just mention the question first, but notice the question five. What connections might there be between these two requests? And what I mean by that is this request that Paul is making for his journey to come back to them, and then this other request that Paul's making for increasing and abounding love towards one another. Might there be any connection between those two requests? There may be. There may be. But abounding love to one another and to all men. All right, I'm going to stop there and we'll open it up here for a discussion. But let's look at the first question on the discussion questions there. Number one, how can we step up our intensity in prayer? How can we step up our intensity in prayer? See, this is another example of Paul's intensity as he prays. How can we step up in intensity in our prayers? How can we step up the intensity of our prayers? John. So know what you're praying for, you know, write down prayer requests, and just continually go back to them. Anybody else? How can we step up the intensity of our prayers? Yes.
Knowing that we can go to the Lord boldly before the throne, bringing our requests to Him, because He does hear us, and we have the confidence that He will act accordingly to His will, and that we don't waver, we don't doubt, because that's when that word pops up into your mind. Well, Lord, I hope you'll do this, I hope you'll do that. Then we're saying, I don't know if I can trust you or not. The Lord has to know that when we say, Lord, I am depending on you, period, we better show, you better walk. Because when we waver, we're like clouds without water. We're a hollow, we're shallow.
All right, good. Just knowing the privilege of prayer should step up our intensity. Anybody else? Yes, Mrs. Cosmo.
I think we need a determined set aside time to pray. Pray without speaking, we're always talking to the Lord. It's not usually too intense. So we're when we really set aside some time to just go before the Lord, that's where we find our answer.
Okay, so a scheduled time for prayer would help to step up that intensity. So maybe daily or weekly. Anybody else? Yes, Crystal.
I was thinking along the same lines as Mrs. Godman as far as setting aside the time each day to pray with no interruption. Like with me, a lot of times I'll begin to pray and then there's just on the way to work, hey, Mom, or whatever. And I try to tell Cassie when I'm praying, don't interrupt me. But I think it's important that we don't have interruption or distraction. Because a lot of times I get distracted in my prayer time. So it's important to try very hard not to have interruptions or distractions.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Pastor Gosper.
I was just thinking that for me, it depends upon how much I recognize the need of the other. I was thinking in relation to question four, we have to become involved in people's lives to really know what the needs are and how deep the needs are. And I know for me, that's when I really begin to pray with some sort of intensity when I really recognize this person really needs that. I really need to pray for that. So it's really coming to really understand that there is a deep need and our Lord can do something about that. So.
Yeah, good. Understanding the need of somebody else more deeply. Okay, anyone else? How can we step up the intensity of our prayers? Getting together with other people for prayers. that would step it up, just like that exercise analogy there. Sometimes people get together with other people to exercise because there's that accountability and encouragement that comes from that, sticking to it. And I think that would really help too if we get together with others for prayer, kind of that exercise group, except for praying. Or you could get together for exercise and pray. That would be good too. So, all right, yes, Mr. Renard.
You know, I'm just thinking about we need to pray for anyone and everyone that's involved in whatever circumstances we're praying about. Just like I'm going in for surgery here Tuesday, and I'm not praying that the Lord, I'm praying that the Lord will protect me and give me ease and help me as I go through this. But I pray for the doctor, the surgeon, who is going to do the work on me, that he would direct the surgeon's hand. So I think that's another way of intensifying what you want to pray about.
Okay, good. All right. Anybody else? Okay, let's look at number two. Why might our faith need perfected? Why might our faith need perfected? Why might our faith need perfected? Paul's praying this for the Thessalonians. He wants to come to them, see their face. And verse 10, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So why might our faith need perfected? Yes, Mr. Wright.
Maybe having a better walk with the Lord, more faith I have, the areas of now may be lacking. I need strengthening of the circumstances more so now.
Okay. All right. So the just our walk with the Lord, our obedience to the Lord, they need to be strengthened. Anybody else? Why might our faith need to be perfected? Becky.
I think about anything in life. If you want to be a famous baseball player, or you know, top golf guy, or if you want to be a bodybuilder, what do? You give it your all. You concentrate on it. You make it a part of your everyday life. You read, you study, you exercise, whatever it is that you know, if you want to attain a goal and to be good at something and understand something, you know, I really respected what Crystal and Jenny said about the woman in the Psalms 23 study, how many years she has spent on that study. And if you want to know something and it's inside and out, then you spend time. And so our faith is no different, that we should perfect it to know the Lord better and have a strong faith.
Okay, good, good. What other thoughts there? Why might our faith need perfected? Yes.
I haven't arrived yet.
You tell us now. Now we know the truth, huh? Yeah, we haven't arrived. None of us we've not attained perfection at this point. And we never will until we meet the Lord. Yes.
Follow up with what he's referring to is that I haven't been able to move mountains yet, so I need a lot of help here. And the Lord tells us that if we had the faith of a mustard seed, which you can barely see, you could move mountains. And I haven't been able to do that yet, and I haven't heard of anybody, humanly speaking, that can move mountains. And Paul even talks about when he was referring to his findings and fears. He talked about findings without and fears within. He was sincere and honest and showing us that his love and his dependency was on what Christ is to him at a certain circumstances. And you got to lean on that. But boy, that is hard. But all he went through, but yet his love was there. For his, the Paul love, because God gave it to him.
All right. Yeah, just that mountain moving faith Jesus talks about. We don't always see that in our own lives. We can grow there. Yes, Barb.
I'm thinking that anytime in the Bible when we see someone who has great faith, like David with the giant, or Moses as he led the people, God was ultimately always glorified. I mean, even when David won a battle or whatever, we know in some ways that wasn't humanly possible without God, the way it happened. So God always glorified. So that's why we should want to have greater faith for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's trials and difficulties that can be overcome with God, and our faith needs to grow in that. That's good. Anybody else? Why might our faith need perfected? It does. Let's look at number three here. How can we recognize God's direction as we plan? How can we recognize God's direction as we plan? Paul is praying for that. God himself direct our way unto you. You know, he's thinking about a journey, coming back to them. And he wants God's guidance, God's direction. How can we recognize that as we plan? How can we recognize God's direction as we plan? John.
I heard a saying one time, and the saying came up with a friend of mine invited me to go to some, he was a missionary, supposedly a missionary, and all to be there with Baghdad. God wants me to go here, and I need this much money, or I can't go. And another saying came to me that a preacher once said, he said, whom God chooses, he uses. And where God guides, he provides. And so I think that, kind of lost the thought there. What's the question?
How can we recognize God's direction as we plan?
One thing, it would be always according to his word. And I mean, that's kind of, our tester, it agrees with God's word. And is he making those doors open? Have we prayed about it? And have we got answers to them prayers? Sometimes you get an affirmation just out of somebody that doesn't even know anything about it, or that you haven't told about it. You may use somebody, or maybe a verse will come to mind. Ultimately, it's walking in faith. But I think that first and foremost, it goes, is it according to God's word? Is that his will for us?
Yeah, a lot of things you said there. But explicit teaching of God's word, I think that would be foundational. You know, is there direct teaching that God has already revealed about this particular thing? And or implicit principles, you know, direct statements or implicit applications or principles that would affect that. And you mentioned doors, right? Opening or closing. I think there is something about that in the scripture. Paul himself, you know, there when he got the Macedonian call, he was not wanting to go there. He was wanting to go to Troas, but the Spirit suffered him not to go there. We don't know exactly what that entailed, but it seems that the door was just shut to go to Troas. And the Lord specifically guided him to Macedonia. And, you know, sometimes there is just the closed door. It's not there. So, anybody else? How can we recognize God's direction as we plan? Yes, Mrs. Gosman.
The problem with what you said, it takes a willing heart to be flexible, to go the way God, the Lord opens those doors, and we have a mindset to something else.
Okay, a willing heart. Need to be submissive to God. Sometimes we have to change our desires and go God's way. So, good. Anybody else? Crystal. Yeah, may involve waiting many times, being patient. So, anybody else? How do we see God's direction, recognize God's direction? Our own desires, you know, we do see they play a part. Paul, even here, seems that he really wanted to go back and be there with the Thessalonians. That was his desire. And the psalm that says, you know, that the Lord will give us the desires of our heart if we're trusting in Him, submitted to Him. I think that's true as well. The Lord may work through those desires. May not always give them, but you may work through those. Anything else? Yes, Mr. Renard.
I know a pastor who put his confidence in me, but maybe that was the wrong thing to do, I don't know, but he was telling me that he knew the Lord was leading him to be a minister, but he always had this idea that he didn't want to go as a missionary. And so he went into the different colleges, and he was always having trouble with it. He couldn't understand why he was still fighting with the Lord about all this. And he said he finally decided, okay, Lord, if you want me to go on the mission field, I surrender that to you. And he said, from then on, he said, I had the easiest time in college. Because he surrendered it all to him. He changed his plan. He said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And I think that's a good testimony here.
Yeah, yeah. Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do?
Surrender
to the Lord. That's important. All of us need to be at that point. Be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Good. All right, number four. What can we do to abound in love toward one another? What can we do to abound in love toward one another? Again, just if you jump ahead to chapter 4, Paul talks about this again, verse 9. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. He says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So Paul wanted this to get bigger, get more, increase more and more in love. So what can we do to abound in love toward one another? What can we do to abound in love towards one another? Yes, Crystal.
Simply pray for one another. And kind of like Pastor was talking about, know their needs. Get to know what they need, get to know what's on their heart, what troubles they have, or personal trials they have, if they're willing to share. And even if they're not willing to share, just, you know, pray. Pray for that need. She's like with me, I mean, everyone knows my husband's not born again, but I know this church prays for him. And that's a great encouragement.
Okay, good. Praying for one another, knowing the needs that people have, and intentionally praying for them. Anybody else? What can we do to abound in love towards one another? Yes, Norm.
If you see somebody with a need, what you can do to help meet what their need is.
All right. If you do see the need, do what you can do to meet the need. May not be completely filling the gap there, but it's just something you can do. Crystal?
Let them know that you care, too. You know, if they're homebound or whatever, send them a card or think about it, text them. Just give them a hello, you know, try to encourage them.
Okay, some communication. Different ways, communicating personally. Yes, Mrs. Gossman. All right, be forgiving with their shortcomings. Good. Anyone else? Yes.
Do not be judgmental.
Okay, do not be judgmental.
We were all there at one time or another.
All right. Yeah. Just remember the nature that we have. We're all struggling with. Okay, I guess our time is over here, but let's try to put this to practice. All right, we're just going over these prayers, and prayer is something we need to grow in and to practice, actually do. And so I hope that'll be an encouragement for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow. We all need it. We pray that our faith would grow. Thank you for bringing us to faith in Christ. But we pray that our faith would grow stronger and that would have more understanding to be a foundation to it. And we pray that you give us direction as we plan. We pray that you would help our love to abound towards one another, especially, and also towards everybody. Help us to show the love of Christ as we interact with people in this world. And we just ask that you would help us to put these things to practice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.